one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
He made a long trip, didn't he? Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. And it was my sin and your sin that made our Savior go. And he never did complain. I heard the Hartville singers saying that Negro spiritual, a wonderful song. And he didn't say a mumbling word. He didn't say a mumbling word. He didn't mumble and he didn't grumble. He came gladly. And he said, I delight to do thy will, O God. And it was God's will for him to die on the cross to save men. You know, one of the burdens, and I've been making some calls, long distance calls, returning the calls from some who are desperate and destitute and lonely and afraid, and some asking if there's any place for them. But you know, the thing that sometimes scares me about our men come here is that if they have not reached the place that Romans chapter 1 talks about, they're bordering on it, and that's the reprobate mind. And fellas, I want to warn you tonight, if you keep on going, and if you turn this message and this truth and these simple messages down, I'll promise you this, that according to the Word of God, he reserves the right any split second to turn you over to a reprobate mind. And that means you can live another 10 years, but you can't be saved. And you'll go straight to hell when you die. Not because we want you to, but you can't get God in your mind. You can't retain Jesus in your mind. And dear friends, that's what the devil is working for. And when he gets you to the place where he's got his reprobate mind in you, he doesn't have to worry about you anymore. Not anymore. I mean, you're through. I mean, you're already condemned, and you're already sentenced, and you're just waiting for the electrocution day. That's all. Just like a man sitting in death row. I mean, he's sitting in death row. There's nothing can be done. There's no way to commute his sentence. And I want to warn you tonight, I really do, that during these blessed days of opportunity, that all of young and old, you take advantage of what you hear in. I mean, you just receive Christ. And I tell you this, when you get to the place where you can refuse to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you either already have a reprobate mind or you're on your way. And I warn you and I exhort you in this service that you'd not reject Jesus Christ tonight. My Bible says, God shall not always, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And I believe they're living dead men. Living dead men. Alive in the flesh. You know the man on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho? The Bible said he was robbed, he was beaten, and left in the ditches half dead. I believe most people are half dead, or at least that much, maybe more. Half dead. Of course, I feel like a man that's just alive physically, but not spiritually. He's over half dead. Because there's no life apart. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now I want to make a statement before I go into my message tonight. I'm going to speak on this subject that came to me yesterday at the room, and that is, what does it mean to be lost? Second, what does it mean to be saved? Third, and what does it mean to backslide or to get away from that glorious experience when you came to Christ? I mean, is it just a cheap thing? Is it a little matter? What does it mean? But I want to preface my message by saying, I wonder if there's a man on earth that lives right now that knows the full extent of one man being lost. I mean eternally lost. You think about eternity and time. Time is a brief thing. Life is like a tale that's told, a leaf that falls from the tree to the ground and it's all over. Here today and gone tomorrow. Knowing both of joy and sorrow. Brother, I don't understand. I mean, my little finite mind has a hard time approaching infinity and even divinity unless the Holy Spirit tells me. Now, sometimes we look at a man. I looked at one the other day that was 100 and some odd years old. And they seemed ancient. Just ancient. I buried a person, a dear old lady, 104 years old. She'd been living in over a century old. And everybody said, old grandmother, why? Isn't she old? And you talk about wrinkles? I'm telling you, I've never seen that many wrinkles. I mean, it was solid wrinkles. All over her forehead, down her face. 104 years of time had been writing on her. At every mark they could make. But dear friends, think of eternity. Where it lived throughout eternity. No wrinkles. No slowing down. No playing out. No getting tired. And not even any going to bed. Think about that. Brother, let me tell you something. There won't be no easy chairs in heaven. Nobody will have to sit down and rest in heaven. And there'll be no sickness. There'll be no hospitals and doctors. There'll be no operating rooms. I mean, eternity is just something that's hard. And you know what? Because a lot of people don't understand it, they refuse to believe it. And heaven is a remote, hazy, sort of a fuzzy idea of some of the remaining fanatics. You don't hear much preached about heaven anymore. People don't talk about going to heaven anymore. I mean, you give a person a nice car and wall-to-wall carpet and a television set and a sack of golf clubs, some bowling balls, a job and a paycheck and a little retirement fund. That's about all the heaven he wants. Heaven enough for him. And they say, heaven can wait or just forget about it. But brother, I still believe we've got a wonderful heaven to go to. That's just the home of the soul that's been redeemed. That's all. I want to read some verses that I've read the last 2 days, yesterday. I want to read them to you. It's 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. I don't know what it means altogether, but I tell you one thing. If it means even what I think it means, it's sure some serious verses. Verse 18, chapter 18. 18 and 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now that tells me there's going to be something besides earth. That tells me there's going to be an earth and there's going to be a heaven. Well, I'm on the earth. And it tells me that when I leave the earth, I'm going to heaven as a Christian. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father
who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now then, I want us to claim something tonight. Now there's more than two or three here. There's a fine band of Christians here. I want us to agree tonight on getting every lost person here saved. Now we must agree on it. Now then, I want to read you what he says concerning the importance of being saved. Verse 8 of the same chapter, 18 and verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Cut them off. And cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Now the Lord speaking, this is recorded in his word. He said, if your hand, now get it, if your hand or your foot as important, you've only got two hands and two feet, but he said if they get so offensive that they're going to keep you from making it to heaven, cut them off. That's drastic, isn't it? You remember the boy in Kansas City, in the jail, you know, in the prison? Cut both his hands off, didn't he? Killed his wife, didn't he? He killed his wife, and he said, I'll cut the hands off that killed her. And he went to a meat saw, didn't he? And sawed them off. Sawed them off and let them fall to the floor. He said, those hands, those guilty hands, those malicious, those devilish hands kill my companion. I'll saw them off. And he sawed them off, and he has nothing but some old nubs now. I see him every time I go there. You saw him. But Jesus is saying, if your hands are going to keep you from going to heaven, you better go to meat saw with them. You better saw them off. But you know, there's something sweet. You don't even have to saw your hands off. You can just put your hand in the nail-scarred hand and keep your hand. And give him your heart! And I ain't say you go use your hands for me. See? Lift the burdens off of precious hearts. Yes, dear friends. But he said it's so important. Oh, that you're not. Listen, let's go a little further. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy eye offend thee. Now, the Bible says, now notice, he didn't say, if thy ear offend thee, cut it off. He said, if your eye, the eye can be so offensive, did you know that? Now some of you think you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Well, let me give you what the Bible says. The Bible says, there are three things in the world that the devil uses to get everybody's ever gotten. He tried them on Jesus. Just as soon as he got out of the baptismal pool, out of the Jordan, he said, okay, meet me out in the wilderness. Here he comes with these three little things right here. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Now that's all the tools he's got to work with. But he's done a magnanimous job with those three tools. I mean, he's pried into everybody with those three things, except Jesus. And he worked on him, but he couldn't do anything about it. And so he said, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Now, I could raise a question, and the modernists would refuse to answer or laugh at me. Reckon what he's talking about when he says hell fire. Do you really suppose that there's a literal hell and that there's fire in hell? Now, dear friends, the old preachers used to didn't even ask that. They just took it for granted God meant it when he said fire is fire. But now then, in our educated day, and with all of our smart aleck theologians, they said that doesn't mean that at all. And brother, I've got enough conviction left in my soul to believe if it does not mean hell fire, then he doesn't mean heaven when he says heaven. Amen. And we've got whole religious groups Going across, one of them got a big sign up on the church. And in the paper they said, this is a no hell church. And I mean, if they were consistent, they'd put another little line and said, also a no heaven church. I mean, if they were be honest about it. They took hell out, why don't they take heaven out? And there's a whole denomination that believes that sin is a hallucination or imagination and is not real or so. Can you imagine that? With the murder and the sin, the filth and the broken hope, homes and shattered hopes and all. Can you imagine? There's no sin. And then there's others that say there is no living devil. No devil at all. But the Bible says that he's still going to and fro. And we see his tracks and feel his stinking breath all over this country today. He said, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell. What is there that you're reading that is offensive to your spiritual life? Throw it away. You don't have to pluck out your eye. Throw away what you've been looking at. I mean, that'd be more sensible. Because I tell you what, I believe a fellow could still pluck out one eye and read a lot that he ought not read with the one he had left. And I believe he could pluck out both of them and stumble on to the grave and go to hell. I believe he'd be all right. If you just surrender your eyes to Jesus and say, Lord, you look through these eyes. Look through these eyes. Holy Spirit, let these eyes belong to thee. And just look for him. And listen, that's all I've ever said. Some people get the strange notion that I'm against television. I mean, I'm not against television at all. It's a wonderful invention. I'm just sorry the devil got a hold of it. I really am. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just see nothing? Have you ever heard of a Christian television station? I don't know of any. I don't know of any. I mean, dedicated to the Lord. You can find some Christian radio stations. Mr. Ed Nobles was here today, and I signed a contract for 7:30 in the morning to 7:45. That's new. I mean, in the morning, 7:45, right after your Bible study, then I'm going to walk in that living room down there. Amen. I mean, in this Bible study place right here every day with the men here. And then 1 to 1:30, after I get through eating lunch, then I'm going to have another session with him. That's 45 minutes, and then he's going to give me 15 minutes for 6 months when the days lengthens, you see, back in about April. And that's going to be a solid hour of broadcast today, Gene. And Brother Johnny will be on 15 minutes, and he'll be telling you about the work and what God can do and will do and is doing. But I haven't had any television set court me like that. I mean, there'd been no station come out and said, Brother Roy, we really want you on our television station. And I say, here's the thing. I could go down there with a whole tow sack full of money and wouldn't get on. Yeah. Some of you folks are having a hard time realizing why this place is so unpopular out here. It's because of its fanatical stand for Christ and his truth. And I told you when I came here, the neighbors wasn't going to like it particularly. They like it at a distance. They don't come because they don't fit. I mean, we tear their hides off of them when they come. Now, I don't mean that in an ugly way. They can't take it. Cigarette-sucking preachers up here. Sit around their little studies, preach one little sermonette for Christianette to run out and smoke cigarettes. Brother, they haven't got anything. Now you go ahead and get mad. Not many of you are to get mad. As far as neighbors, because they're not coming. People up here, they're just like they are down in Texas, just about as full of the devil, haven't got no more of the Lord than a lizard. I just say it every once in a while, because it ought to be said. Now I'll stand before you at the judgment seat of Christ for what I've said and for the spirit I've said it in. People don't love Jesus anymore. There wouldn't be a baker's dozen from Culloden, Barnesville, Thomaston, and all the rest of these towns around here. Why? They don't agree with the stand we take But dear friends, when they get an alcoholic, we'll be glad to take him if they bring him out here.
Right.
We'll be as patient with him, won't cost him a dime. Walk these old roads with him, pray with him, read the Bible to him. But the average person, just like Brother Johnny said, they don't care. And the reason they don't care, they haven't been reading the Word of God. They don't have the compassion of Christ, and they let a whole world go to hell. What does it mean to be lost? What does it mean to be lost? We're just playing church today. And we're not playing church as much as we used to play church. We used to play church at least on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Most people just play it on Sunday morning now. And I'm not trying to be sour or bitter. I'm just simply saying we're not dead in earnest about this matter of working with lost people. More prospects than we ever had. Feel whiter than it's ever been. But oh, we haven't given ourselves. Let me read to you another passage of Scripture found in the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. Then we'll answer these questions the best we can. In Luke chapter 12, verse 4, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." He said you needn't be afraid of a man because he packs a gun or pulls a pocket knife. Of course, I don't believe that we need to stay too close to him. But I mean, the Lord says you don't have to be afraid. If I tell you to go witness to somebody, and if you were to die in the effort, you needn't be afraid of that fella. All he can do is just ship you off to heaven a little earlier. You know, but he said, I tell you one thing. You better get doubly afraid of the one that can drop you off into hell. Now, folks, I've read enough Scripture tonight to convince any Bible-believing Christian or anybody else that'll be reasonable that there is a hell somewhere. There's a hell. We used to talk, the old preachers had said, there's a hell to shun, there's a heaven to gain. And so tonight, I want to ask you the question, what does it mean for a man to be lost? I know we've tried to doctor up and decorate, and sin is not as ugly, and therefore people are not lost. I heard a man say the other day, I believe God's going to be pretty lenient with me. I haven't lived for him. My life hasn't counted. But somehow or another, I have a feeling that the Lord is going to be mighty lenient when I go to stand before him. Dear friends, there's only one thing that's going to determine whether I'll stand in peace or not before the Lord, and that's my relationship to Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. We've tried to smooth over. I have a clipping here, and it says, saying grace is urged before viewing TV. In other words, they know it's here to stay, that's what, and everybody's got one just about it. And so this Presbyterian minister, he's just published a book aimed at reviving worship in the home. Thinks people should say grace before settling down to television. Isn't that sweet? Boy, he was doing some deep plowing, wasn't he? You see, he hadn't got the intestinal fortitude to fight that one-eyed idiot. And so he said, we better coexist with it, but let's pray over it and ask God to sanctify it.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, What Does It Mean to Be Lost? Now, if you would like to receive that message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3318 and include $10. We'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. To order by credit card, dial toll free at 1-800-772-7507. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. To use your credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
The special offer for the month of May is Lighthouse Memories, number 838. To help with shipping and handling, please send $12 for the CD and some of the songs, Looking for a City, Hallelujah, What a Savior, We'll Soon Be Done, Amazing Grace, and of course, The Lighthouse. Now to receive the CD, send $12, and we accept credit cards, by the way, and you can call us toll free at 1-800-772-7507 or write to the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Again, the offer is Lighthouse Memories, offer number 838. The address again is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403, or use your credit card by dialing 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, hoping that you'll have a wonderful day. And we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and he made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.